ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரிய மத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரிய பர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம் சத்குரு சரணாரவிந்தாப்யாம் நமஹ. ஆமை ஆடிபிள்.
எஸ் மாமா.
ஓகே.
எஸ்
பிரம்மசூத்ராஸ் செகண்ட் சாப்டர் அவிரோத அத்தியாய பாதா 2 ரச்சனா அனுபபத்யதிகரணம் ரச்சனா அனுபபத்தேஷ்ச ந அனுமானம் ப்ரவிருத்தேஷ்ச பயோம்பு வச்சேத் தத்ராபி வ்யதிரேக அனவஸ்திதேஹே ச அனபேக்ஷத்வாத் அந்யத்ர பாவாச்ச ந த்ருணாதிவத் அபியுபகமேபி அதர்மாத் அர்த்தாபாத் அர்த்தாபாவாத் புருஷாஸ்மவத் இதி சேத் ததாபி அங்கித்வ அனுபபத்தேஷ்ச அன்யதா அனுமிதௌ ச ஞசக்திஹி வியோகாத் விப்ரதிஷேதாச்ச அசமஞ்சசம் மகத்தீர்காதிகரணம் மகத்தீர்கவத்வா ஹ்ரஸ்வ பரிமண்டலாப்யாம் பரமாணு ஜகத் அகாரணத்துவ அதிகரணம் உபயதாபி ந கர்ம அதஹ ததபாவஹ சமவாய அப்யுபகமாச்ச சாம்யாத் அனவஸ்திதேஹே நித்யமேவச பாவாத் ரூபாதிமத்வாச்ச விபர்யயஹ தர்ஷனாத் உபயதாச்ச தோஷாத் அபரிக்ரஹாச்ச அத்யந்தம் அனபேக்ஷாம் சமுதாயாதிகரணம் சமுதாய உபயஹேதுகேபி ததப்ராப்திஹி இதர இதர ப்ரத்யயத்வாத் இதி சேத் ந உற்பத்தி மாத்ர நிமித்தத்வாத் உத்தரோத்பாதே ச பூர்வநிரோதாத் அசதி ப்ரதிஜ்ஞோபரோதஹ யோகபத்யம் அன்யதா ப்ரதிசங்க்யா ப்ரதிசங்க்யா நிரோதா ப்ராப்திஹி அவிச்சேதாத் உபயதாத் தோஷாத் ஆகாஷே ச அவிசேஷாத் அனுஸ்மிருதேஷ்ச நாசதஹ அத்ருஷ்டத்வாத் உதாசீனானாம் அபி ச ஏவம் சித்திஹி அபாவாதிகரணம் நாபாவ உபலப்தேஹே வைதர்ம்யாச்ச ந ஸ்வப்னாதிவத் நபாவஹ அனுபலப்தேஹே க்ஷணிகத்வாச்ச சர்வதா அனுபபத்தேஷ்ச. ஸோ வி சா அப் டு தி சூத்ரா இன் தி லாஸ்ட் கிளாஸ். தென் தி நெக்ஸ்ட் சூத்ரா, சூத்ரா 33, வி ஸ்டார்டட் டு சி நைகஸ்மின் அசம்பவாத் நைகஸ்மின் அசம்பவாத். 33rd சூத்ரா, 204th ரன்னிங் பிரம்மசூத்ரா. So this is the sixth adhikaranam and is called ekasmin sambhavadhikaranam. We finished 5 adhikaranams in the last class. It's the sixth adhikaranam. And in this adhikaranam, Vyasacharya is refuting the Jaina darshanam. And in Jaina matam also, there are 2 branches. One is called Shvetambara and Digambara. And Shvetambara means those people who wear the white clothes. And Digambaraha means whose clothes are the 8 directions only. That means no cloth Jainasa, avadhuta sannyasa. In Vaidika darshanam also, the sannyasa has got avadhuta sannyasa. In Jainism also, such a practice is there. And the difference between these 2 branches are only in some superficial practices of life. As far as philosophy is concerned, it is same for both the branches. And therefore, we need not discuss the Shvetambara and the Digambara philosophy separately. And Vyasacharya here, he discusses the common Jaina darshanam, common to both. And we will briefly see what the Jaina darshanam is. I outlined it briefly yesterday. It is supposed to be founded by the great Rishabhadeva himself, originally. And the last, it's supposed to have 24 acharyas. And Vardhamana Mahaviraha is the 24th acharya and the last acharya. And all these acharyas are called Tirthankaras, noble people, Mahatmas, holy people, all that. And they have conquered the sense organs. And so these acharyas are called Jinaha. So the darshanam born out of Jina came to be known as Jaina, Jaina Matam. Incidentally, Vardhamana Mahavira is supposed to be a contemporary of Buddha himself. Therefore, they existed 2500 years before, approximately. And both were born then. And in the Jaina system, they talk of seven categories, Sapta Padarthaha, basic things, from which we get some idea about their philosophy. And some of them are going to be refuted in this Adhikarana. We just enumerated the seven categories in the last class. And now we will briefly see the seven categories. And the first category is Jivaha. Jivaha means Chetana Atma. That is the first Padartha. And they don't have Ishvara in the Jaina system. They will worship their Tirthankaras or Acharyas only, but not God. Perhaps the modern Jains perhaps have accepted the God because of the influence of Hinduism, but original system did not accept a God. And according to Jainas, this Chetana Atma has a limited form, which is the same as the form of the body that it occupies. Technically, it is called Madhyama Parimanaha. It is neither extremely small nor extremely big, but it is in between these two. So it is called Madhyama Parimanaha, which means the size of the Atma will vary from individual to individual. That is, the one with a big body will have a big Atma, and one with a small body will have small Atma. And suppose if one starts with a small body and later middle age crisis comes, or the battle of the bulge comes, the body expands. So naturally, the Atma also expands and contracts also. Therefore, Atma is Madhyama Parimanaha, Savikaraha, subject to expansion and contraction modification. And not only that, Atmas are many in number. As many bodies are there, so many Atmas are also there. So what are the three things to note now? Atma has got size, Atma has got plurality, and Atma is subject to change. Parichedaha, Vikaraha, Bahutvam, or Nanatvam. All these are attributes of this Atma, Jivaha. And these are the three fundamental principles regarding the Atma belonging to the category one, Jivaha. And the second category is called Ajivaha. Ajivaha represents the Achetana Prapancha, the insentient universe, inert material universe. And what is its nature? They have got a peculiar system. They say, world is made up of atoms, Paramanu Karyam Jagat, which is very similar to Buddhism, and Nyaya Vaiseshika philosophy also. We have seen that earlier. This is one. Then they give another description, which is the most unique description. And they say the world or any object in the world does not have one specific or exclusive feature at all or nature. But every object has got an inclusive nature. And therefore, it has several features together. Therefore, everything is non-specific. Nothing is specific. This is considered to be a unique approach in Jainism. In fact, what they are trying to really say is the world is anirvachaniyam, which is very similar to Advaita. Anirvachaniyam means inexplicable. The world is inexplicable. This is their intention to say. But this anirvachaniyam, they present it in a very peculiar way. That is, the world is non-specific in nature. So instead of saying inexplicable, they say world is non-specific in nature. So any object in the creation is non-specific in nature. And this theory is known by a special name in Jainism called Syadvadaha. Syadvadaha is this particular non-specific nature. Syad means non-specific or non-absolute. So syat vadaha means nothing is absolute. Otherwise called anekanta vadaha, which means it includes not one exclusive nature, but it has got different features. Therefore, it is called the theory of inclusiveness. It is all inclusive. That means you cannot call, for example, this is a computer at all, or a light. By using the word computer, you are excluding it from light. By using the word light, you are excluding it from microphone. So you cannot say this computer. You cannot say this light. You cannot say this microphone. But is light also, it is computer also, it is microphone also. Nothing is specific in nature according to that. Since every object is all inclusive, it is called the theory of inclusiveness or anekanta vadaha, or theory of non-absoluteness, syad vadaha. These are all synonyms. And since it is a mixture of several features, they categorize these several features into seven. So originally there are seven categories. Now in the second category, in Ajivaha itself, we are now seven features separately. So it is inclusive of all the seven features. And these seven features is called Saptabhangaha, features, divisions, nature. Bhangaha means features. So Saptabhangaha means sevenfoldness of every object. And let us try to understand it a little bit. Maybe a little confusing, but anyway, I have to complete that. So what do they mean by sevenfoldness of every object? They say, first you take the very existence itself of an object. You can never be specific. Take the existence. Leave alone other features. You take the very feature of existence. This object exists. An object cannot be specific according to them. Then how do you describe an object then? We have to describe it in a sevenfold way. If anyone asks if this computer is existent or not, then what should we say? You should not say existent or non-existent. Then you will be specific. So you should give an answer which is non-specific, which means you should give sevenfold answer. And what is the answer will be for this computer? Number one, syad asti. Asti means existence. It is existent. But syad asti means it is existent, but not absolutely existent. Then you should also add syad nasti. It is non-existent, but not absolutely. There is non-specific again. Then syad asti nasti. It is existent and non-existent, but not absolutely. Again, non-specific. And fourth, syad avaktavyaha. It is indescribable. And that indescribable also is not absolutely. Then syad asti avaktavyaha. It is indescribably existent. Again, not absolutely. And syad nasti avaktavyaha. It is indescribably non-existent. Again, not absolutely. And syad asti nasti avaktavyaha, it is indescribably existent and non-existent, but not absolutely. In short, what they are really struggling to say is, they are not able to communicate. Nothing in creation is clearly explicable. That is what they are trying to say, but they are saying it in so many complicated ways. Therefore, you can say it is existent, it is not existent, all the things. Similarly, you have to add for everything. Syad nityam, syad anityam, syad nityam anityam, syad avaktavyaha, syad nityam avaktavyam, and syad anityam avaktavyam, syad nityam anityam avaktavyam, all that. And if you say again, syad big, something is bigger, and syad small, if you want to say size, syad big and small, syad big, indescribable, syad small, indescribable, avaktavyam, and syad big, small, like that. So in short, everything is non-specific in nature. This is called the theory of non-absolute nature. And in Sanskrit, they use three terms to describe it. One is called syadvadaha, anekantavadaha, and then saptabhangivadaha. All these three are synonyms for the same concept. This is their theory regarding the nature of the world. And their intention is what? Anirvachaniya. Inexplicability of things is what they intend to say. Vedanta also says the same thing, but they say it in some peculiar manner. So this is the second item. So Jivaha first, then Ajivaha. And the second category itself was the world we introduced, Saptabhanga Vadaha, all these seven features. This is the second category. Now let us go to the third category. We said seven categories, right? So the third category. So the third Padartha, according to Jaina system, is Ashravaha. Ashravaha means acquisition of karma. Literally, Ashravaha means a flow. Ashravaha is a flow. And here it means acquisition of karma. And here the word flow represents the flow of karma towards the Atma, the Jiva. Therefore, constantly we are acquiring Punya Papa Karmas. Constantly we are acquiring Punya Papa Karmas. So this flow of Punya Papa Karmas towards the Atma is called Ashravaha. And how does the karma flow towards the flows towards the Atma? According to Jaina system, the karma acquisition takes place because of self-ignorance and delusion, and the consequent unethical life. These are the reasons. Because of self-ignorance, delusion, and the consequent unethical life leads to acquisition of karma. Ethics is given importance in their system. So because of self-ignorance, confusion, delusion, and an unethical life, so to use Vedantic language, Asuri Sampat. In Bhagavad Gita language, Asuri Sampat, not Devi Sampat, Asuri Sampat. Like Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada, Matsarya, Raga, Dvesha, all of them. And because of that, karma is accumulated. Where? Into Atma. And according to Jaina system, karmas are very fine, subtle matter particles, granules of karma, they call it, fine particles of karma. Karmas are very fine, subtle matter particles, granules. And because of our delusion, these particles are attracted. Not only they are attracted, they get stuck in the Atma. All these karma particles, they get stuck in the Atma. For example, in the olden days, when during rainy season, all these, you know, there are these insects come and they fly all over. And what do they do? There's those people to make these insects not to go and, you know, fall everywhere else, they dip a paper in oil and hang it below the lamp. And now what does the mixture of this lamp and oil paper do? The lamp paper attracts all the flying insects attraction. And when they hit the oily paper, what happens? They get stuck. So they attract and then get stuck. Similarly, Atma, which is like lamp, delusion and ignorance is like what? Like the sticky oily paper, and all karma particles are attracted and get stuck to the Atma. So process of acquisition of karma is called Ashravaha. Sravati means constant flow, Ashravaha. Then the fourth category is called Samvaraha. I enumerated all this in the last class though. We are only describing them now. Samvaraha means stopping the flow or acquisition of karma. Samvrunoti, to stop. And Samvaraha means cessation. That is, you stop the pipe or imagine the rainy waters entering your room window. So what do you do first? You don't go on removing the water from the room. That is foolishness. The first job is to close the window so that fresh water does not enter. Similarly, what is the first job? You have to stop the acquisition of karma. And how do you do that? By stopping the unethical life. by following ethics. So it is Daivi Sampat. From Asuri Sampat, you go on starting doing Daivi Sampat. And how do you stop unethical life? By removing delusion. And how do you remove delusion? By removing self-ignorance. And how do you remove self-ignorance? By self-knowledge. So all these are exactly like Vedanta, right? So you do, you stop unethical life by removing delusion, remove delusion by self-ignorance, and by removing self-ignorance, and by self-ignorance is removed by self-knowledge. Self-knowledge is not our Aham Brahmasmi knowledge for them. But the self-knowledge as described by the Jaina system is what? It's different. So acquire self-knowledge, remove ignorance, remove delusion, remove Durachara, and take to Sadachara. That's all they say. And they also enumerate Ahimsa, Satyam, Asteyam, Brahmacharyam, Aparigraha, all these Yama and Yamadi Acharas you take to. Then what happens? The flow of fresh karma is stopped. This is the fourth category. And the fifth category is called Nirjaraha. Even though they you have stopped the fresh flow, there is already some karma, the Sanchita karma, which has been already acquired. And this acquired karma particles have to be worn out, have to be eliminated, which is called Nirjaraha. Therefore, Samvaraha is crucial. Curtail any new addition is done by Samvara, any new addition. And Nirjara is whatever karma particles are already stuck to, not the Stula Shadiram or Sukhma Shadiram, but Atma. All these things get stuck to Atma, not all these Stula grass body, subtle body and all. So in Jainism, Atma is not Asangaha. Only in Vedanta, Atma is Asangaha, Sangarahitaha. All the karmas belong to Atma only in Jainism. Therefore, you have to start rubbing, cleaning, acid etching. You have to do all that. And for rubbing off the karma, one has to practice penance. Or all austerities, vratams and all that. And the more severe the vratam, the more the karma particles will be rubbed. And therefore, Jainism has got very, very severe penance. Taptashila Arohanam, sitting on a heated stone plate, very hot plate, and sitting under the sun, plucking the hair by hand, walking without slippers in hot sun. All types of severe tapas, austerities, which come in Vedanta as Tamasa Vratams. Such practices in Vedanta are called Tamasic. Whereas they want all these things in that thing as a very highly revered vratams. Actually, if you remember the 17th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Tarshayanta sharirastham bhutagramama chetasaha mam chaivanta sharirastham tam vidyasura nischayana. Senselessly torturing all the elements in the body and me also who dwells within the body. When you torture the body, you torture me also. I am also inside the body. You may know these to be of tamasic attitude, tamasic characters, demonic results. That's what Krishna says in 17th chapter. So all extreme penances are called tamasic. But for Jains, extreme penance is welcome. And it should be done to remove the karma particles. And this thinning out is called Nirjaraha, thinning out. Karmanam Jari Karana is called Nirjaraha. Then the sixth category is called Bandaha. Karma Sambandaha, Dukkha Sambandaha, the association with karma and the consequent association with pain, Dukkha Sambandaha. So Karma Pala Sambandaha, that is called Bandaha. So Bandha is called by what? Ashrava, the third category, they are interconnected. So Ashrava and Bandha, they are interconnected. Ashravaha is the flow of karma, which will lead to what? Bandha. Therefore, Ashravaha is Karanam and Bandha is called Karyam. Then the seventh category is mokshaha. Mokshaha is freedom from karma sambandha and consequently is dukkha sambandha, even ajnana sambandha. So according to Jainas, ajnanam also will go away when karma particles are removed. So ajnana, karma, dukkha, sambandha, all of them going away. And consequently what happens? One acquires omniscience. Sarvajnaha bhavati. Because ajnanam goes away and anandaha, dukkha dvamsaha, all sorrows are gone and consequently sharira sambandha nivrittihi. No more further acquisition of body. They are all very similar to Vedanta only. Therefore, punajarmaha nasti, and that means what? That jiva, which is of the size of the body, not all-pervading, jiva is size of the body, not all-pervading like atma. That last body sized jiva, because the size varies, we talk. So the last body sized jiva will not take any more, take a fresh body, and that jiva will go to higher akashas. It will go to higher akasha. And they talk about one ordinary akasha called laukika akasha and another akasha called alaukika akasha. Just as Visishtadvaitins, they also say that during moksha you will get a body which is non-material in nature, that aprakrita shariram, which will be eternal. It is not made up of panjabhutas. Thus, just as the Visishtadvaitins talk about non-material unique body in Vaikuntha, for whom? For the liberated jiva. Similarly, Jainas talk about a non-material akasha called alaukika akasha. And this liberated jiva will go to alaukika akasha and one will be going up and up and up. How long? Don't ask. Go on. So, alaukika akashem urdhvagamanam, moksha. So, without a new shariram, without karma, without ignorance, with omniscience, and this moksha is achieved by what? The fourth and the fifth category, which are sambaraha and nirjaraha respectively. They are sadhanas for the seventh category, namely moksha. So, sambaram and nirjaram are sadhanas for gaining the seventh category called moksha. So the third, the asrava, is the cause of sixth, the bandha, the effect. And fourth, samvaram, and fifth, nirjaram, are the cause for seventh moksha, seventh category moksha. That is the effect. So these are the sapta padartha. And according to Jainas, sapta bhanganaya, the principle of non-definability or inexplicability is applicable to all. Nothing can be explained. Just as the Bhautas point out, sarvam kshanikam, Jainas point out that everything falls within sapta bhanga. This is Jaina darshana. Now what Vyasacharya is going to say here, this is not acceptable. Vyasacharya is going to negate this entire argument. And Vyasacharya takes only two of the topics for refutation. Number one, their unique concept of Sapta Bhanganayaha, seven feature theory for every object, or Syadvadaha. Syadvadaha, we can also call it Sambhavvadaha. Everything is somehow. Or Anekantavadaha, everything is indefinable. So Vyasacharya refutes it in one sutra. And the other topic that he refutes is the nature of Atma. Atma Swarupaha, Atma Swarupa Kandana. So these are the two refutations Vyasacharya is going to do. And of this, the first sutra, the 33rd sutra, does the Sapta Bhanga Vada Kandana. Negation of the Sapta Bhanga Vada. And the next three sutras, Sutra 34, 35 and 36, they deal with Atma Swarupa Khandana, the negation of the nature of Atma as presented by them. Jaina Sammata Atma Swarupa Khandana, not Vedanta. This is the background of this Adhikarana. Now let us do the general analysis of the first sutra, namely Sutra 33. And here Vyasacharya gives only one simple answer. He says, the seven features in every object is not acceptable because the seven features mentioned by them are mutually contradictory attributes. All the seven features, they are all mutually contradictory attributes. And there is a law which says contradictory attributes cannot be there in one object at the same time. Contradictory attributes cannot be there in one object at the same time. Samana deshe, in one and the same place. Samana kale, in one and the same time. Viruddha dharmau, opposite attributes, na sambhavataha, are not possible. For example, two attributes, if you take tall and short. Let us say Rama is tall, Lakshmana is short, no problem. It's okay. But Rama is tall, Rama is short also is not possible. Because tallness and shortness are opposite attributes. Similarly, Rama is short now when he is 3 years old. And Rama will be tall later. That's okay. One Rama can be tall and short at different times. But one and the same Rama at one and the same time cannot be tall and short. Very simple. But in Anekantavada, what happens? The Jainas point out that every object has got seven features. And in them, the first two are asti and nasti. So if it is asti, one cannot say nasti. Or vice versa. If it says nasti, it cannot be asti. Asti is existent. Nasti is non-existence. So this is the essence of the answer that Vyasacharya gives. Now let us do the word analysis of this sutra. First, let us see the running meaning. Naikasmin asambhavat. That is the sutra. Naikasmin asambhavat. This is 33rd sutra. 204th running Brahma Sutra. And asambhavat, because of, somebody's microphone is still on. Because of the impossibility, asambhavat, that we have to supply of the existence of contradictory attributes. So we have to complete asambhavat only is there. Asambhavat means because of the impossibility. And we have to complete the sentence by supplying impossibility of the existence of contradictory attributes. And ekasmin, in one and the same locus or object. Na. Na means the Jain system or the seven feature theory of Jaina system is not acceptable. Na means not acceptable only is there. But we have to supply Jaina system or the seven feature theory of Jaina system is not acceptable. This is the running meaning. Now let us look at the significance of the words. It consists of three words, na, ekasmin, and asambhavat. Na means not. And we have to complete it as na sadhu, not proper, not acceptable, na sammatam, na yuktam. Then ekasmin, ekas means what? In one entity. Or in one's object, ekasmin. Then we have to supply opposite attributes in one object, viruddha dharmas. In the same object, viruddha dharmas. Like what? Opposite attributes. Asti, nasti. Not only these two, Jaina says one should extend to others also. Syad ekaha, syad anekaha, syad eka anekaha, syad avaktavyaha. Sat sat yekaha avaktavyaha, sat anekaha avaktavyaha, sat yeka anekaha avaktavyaha. Therefore, not only with respect to asti, also with singularity and plurality, he says, an object is singular also, plural also, and singular plural also. How can be an object be singular and plural? Similarly, with nityam and anityam, and finite and infinite also. How can all coexist? So, ekasmin, Viruddha dharma. That has to be understood. Asambhavat, asambhavaha means impossibility, untenability. And this is in Panchami, Keto Panchami. That means because of. Therefore, because of the coexistence of opposite attributes in one and the same locus, the seventh feature theory is unacceptable. That is the conclusion of Vyasacharya. Because of the coexistence of opposite attributes in one and the same locus, the seventh feature theory is not acceptable. And before going to the next sutra, Swamiji discusses one more point that the Bhashyakara Shankaracharya discusses in his commentary. Shankaracharya tells several things in his Bhashyam. We will take only one point because it may be interesting to us in this context. So we all accept the good intention of the Jaina. He wants to say that the world is inexplicable, that is anirvachaniyam. And more you analyze the world, inexplicability is going to become evident only. Even the scientists, they have invented the theory of uncertainty principle, Heisenberg. And in it is another version of what? Nirvachaniyam only. If you know the velocity, you won't know the position. If you know the position, you won't know the momentum of a subatomic particle, velocity of momentum. So Heisenberg's principle of uncertainty, position and momentum, energy and time, all of them. So something similar to that is here. We are understanding one thing, that they are also struggling with their understanding of the creation. And they have found out, scientists, every theory is uncertain. The only theory that is certain is the uncertainty principle. They have found out. It is never negated. Anyway, what we say is, all philosophers have this problem. And Shankaracharya, when he refuted, he is worried that the Jainas may argue, in your Advaitam also, you say anirvachaniyam. When I say that the, you know, Shushru Nyayaha, you know, I told the story yesterday, mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, the story of saying no to a beggar. Similarly, you Vedantins are acting like mother-in-laws. You are also saying about creation is anirvachaniyam. Now, what is the difference between their anirvachaniyam and Vedantins anirvachaniyam? We have to know some more important points here. When Jaina says anirvachaniyam, he says world has got both existence and non-existence. When Jaina says anirvachaniyam, he says world has got both existence and non-existence. It is a mixture of sat and asat. This is called ubayatmakatvam. But that we refute because opposite attributes cannot coexist. So ubayatmakatvam we negate. And Advaiti never says world is a mixture of sat and asat. He says world is different from sat, world is different from asat. So sat asat vilakshanatvam is Advaita. Whereas sadasat ubayatmakatvam is Jaina. Therefore, according to Vedanta, one cannot say that world is sat also as well as asat also and not a mixture also. It is different from all the three. Actually, in Viveka Chudamani, Acharya says, sannapya sannap ubayatmiko ubayatmikanom binnabhya binnat ubayatmikanom sangapya nangapya ubayatmikanom mahadbhuta nirvachaniya rupa. Mahadbhutam, he says. Sannapya sannap ubayatmikanom. This is one point we should note. World is not a mixture of sat and asat. Sat and asat. It is distinct from sat and asat. And the second important point that we should note is, when you say the world is inexplicable or anirvachaniyam, it is only with respect to satta or the existence. which means you cannot say it is sat also, you cannot say it is asat also, but we say all the other features of the world, they are all nirvachaniyam, not anirvachaniyam. Nirvachaniyam means can be clearly talked about. For example, someone asks, what is the color of an object? I won't say it is anirvachaniyam. I can very specifically, precisely say, this is of this color. Similarly, size or weight, you can clearly say. So anirvachaniyam is only with respect to sat asat. In all other aspects, world is nirvachaniyam only and not anirvachaniyam. We will be able to precisely and clearly talk about all those other features. And only because we are able to precisely talk about, all transactions are also possible. If you cannot precisely talk about, how can you transact in the world? If everything is anirvachaniyam, no transaction is possible at all. Because all transactions require specification. Therefore, Shankaracharya says, problem with Jainism is they extended anirvachaniyam to everything which is wrong. And therefore, they cannot even distinguish their philosophy from other system. They can't even talk about any category since it requires distinguishing it from the other categories. If you want to talk about one category, one should be able to distinguish from other categories. Therefore, what is the difference between anirvachaniyam of Jaina and anirvachaniyam of Vedanta? Specific, Vedanta also specifically to Advaita. Jaina says anirvachaniyam in all respects, which we cannot accept because we can never transact if you cannot talk about it. And one of the seven features he says is avaktavyaha. Vaktavyaha, avaktavyaha. Vaktavyaha means you can talk about, and avaktavyaha means it cannot be talked about. And then we ask the question to them, how do you talk about Jaina philosophy itself if nothing can be talked about? You are trying to talk about your philosophy. How can you do that also? Therefore, he says, sarva vyavahara lobha prasangaha. If precision is not there, no vyavahara, no transaction is possible. Therefore, in Advaita, we say, even maya also is definable. It is not definable or sat or asat, but definable as sad asat vilakshanam. It can be defined as different from sad asat. Brahman is definable. So also sadhana is definable. Sadhya is definable. Sadhana, chaturstriya, sampatti, all of them are definable. And if you don't accept that, there will be no problem. This is very important according to Vedanta. Except the satta aspect of the world, everything is clearly definable. Existence principle alone cannot be. Now let us go to the next sutra. Sutra 34. Evancha atma katsniyam. This is 34th shloka, 205th running Brahma Sutra. And as we said in the first sutra of this adhikaranam, Vyasacharya refuted the Saptabhangi Nyaya as the definition of anirvachaniya. And Shankaracharya said the definition should be asat, sad asat vilakshanam alone. That is the right way of presenting it. And in the following three sutras, 34, 35, and 36 of the second pada, second adhyaya, as we said earlier, the nature of Atma as presented by the Jaina is going to be refuted. These three shloka sutras is going to refute the nature of Atma as presented by the Jainas. And what does the Jaina say? Atma will be the size of the body. That will be defective. This is the idea of this sutra. Now let us do the general analysis of the sutra first. Among many defects, one is you cannot explain your punarjanma properly. Because in this janma, one has got a body, which is the container. and the Atma, which is the content. And both are in very, very fit condition, nicely fitting in each other. And suppose in the next Janma, we are talking about Jaina system, okay. Suppose in the next Janma, the body is either bigger like an elephant body or smaller like an ant body, what will happen? Atma will be under, either undersized if it's elephant body or oversized if it is an ant body. Compared to, for example, we are human beings now. In the next Janma, it is an elephant body. So Atma will be, now the Atma is of the size of the body according to them. So Atma will be either undersized if elephant body is taken or will be oversized if an ant's body is taken. And how can Atma and body have fit connection when size is not correct? It cannot fit. Therefore, dimensional deficiency with respect to Atma or dimensional unsuitability or dimensional unfitness will be the problem when Punarjanma comes. So if you say Atma is Madhyama Parimana, of the size of the body, this is the dosha set here. So now what is the word analysis? Let us see the running meaning. Evam. Evam means similarly, Atma akarsniyam. Karsni means totality or entirety. And Atma akarsni means dimensional deficiency with respect to Atma. Dimensional deficiency means dimensional unsuitability or unfitness. And the word cha, cha means is also another flaw also or defect in Jainism. Okay. To avoid this problem, what one can do, the Jainas can do? He can say Atma is elastic. That is the only way. It can either adapt to a bigger body, smaller body. So the only way of when small body comes, Atma shrinks. When big body comes, Atma expands. But that does not help you much also. And that is going to be said in the next sutra. Sutra number 35. Nacha paryaya dapi avirodaha vikaradibhyaha. So the first, let us do the general analysis as usual. The Jainas, they suggest a solution for this problem. Because body size changes from Janma to Janma, so the only way of making the Atma fit into the whatever body it takes is what? Atma size also must be regularly revised, like a tailor measuring and adjusting. So this is called paryaya, successive revision of the size of Atma. Paryaya means successive revision of the size of the Atma. This will be the suggestion of the Jainas. So the sutra has two parts. One part, Jaina's solution, namely successive revision of the size of the body, will make my system avirodaha, defectless, reasonable. That is his claim. And that is one part of the sutra. And then Vyasacharya's answer is, then also there will be problem. And what is the problem? If Atma is subject to vardate, viparinamate, apakshiyate, what it is grows, it changes, it decays and all that, that is vriddhi, parinama and kshaya, then Atma will have maranam also. Yatra yatra vikaraha, tatra tatra anityatvam. Atma will be perishable. Then who will enjoy nitya moksha? Anitya Atma can never enjoy nitya moksha. This is the flaw if you say Atma will be subject to expansion and contraction. Now let us do the word analysis. First, let us see the running meaning of the sutra. Paryayat. This is the suggestion of the Jaina Purvapakshi. Due to the successive revision, that is from Janma to Janma, in every Janma, then of the size of the Atma, that is where it changes. Avirodaha. There is no defect at all if you take this argument. Atma changes size. Up to this is Jaina's suggestion. Then Vyasacharya's reply is what? Cha api, such a suggestion also. Then we have to supply not acceptable, nasadhu. Vikaradibhyaha, because of problems like modification, vikaras. This is the running meaning. Now let us see the significance of the words. As we said earlier, paryayaha means literally flow. And in this context, successive change or revision of the size of the Atma in keeping with the size of the body, that is the flow of different dimensioned Atma. Different dimensioned Atma. This is called Paryayaha. And Paryayat means because of this regular revision of the size of the Atma, then what happens? Avirodaha. There is no problem of unfitness. Every time body and Atma will be good fitting only to adjust itself, like stitching regular dress. Up to this is the quotation from the Purvapakshi, the Jaina. Nacha means is to be separately read actually. Such a suggestion will not be flawless. Paryayat avirodaha. That is Jaina's suggestion. Nacha api means is not possible. Why? Vikaradibhyaha. In such a situation, solution, you are admitting that Atma is subject to modification vikara, like expansion and contraction. In fact, we came to Atma for what purpose? We found body is perishable. And therefore it gives sukham, dukkham and all that. Dukkham, all that it gives. Therefore, we turn to Atma, which is not perishable. But now you are again asking me to go to the body. If Atma is also like the body, it will have what? Vardate, viparinamate, apakshiyate, all that it will have same problem. So vikaradibhyaha problems will be there. Adi, adi means etc. So we have to give some more doshas also. And one dosha is it is subject to modification. And another dosha is it is subject to nashaha cha. Yatra yatra vikaraha, tatra tatra anityatvam also is there, vinashyati. And Sankaracharya adds some more doshas also here in this discussion. And he says, actually he asks the question, if Atma has to expand, from where will Atma get the material for expansion? If Atma has to expand, it has to get material to expand. You cannot say any substance from the external world, which is made up of matter, and Atma is non-matter. So you cannot expand a non-matter with matter. For non-matter Atma to expand, you need non-matter Atma only. There is no source of raw material for expansion of Atma. So because of these reasons, expanding Atma is not acceptable to us. Now let us go to the last sutra of this Adhikarana. Get some time, I hope, let's see. Antyavastitehe cha ubhaya nityatvada visheshaha. Sutra 36, the last sutra of this Adhikarana. First let us do general analysis. Vyasacharya raised the problem that the Atma cannot fit into the varying bodies from Janma to Janma that we saw just now. For this, the Jaina Matam offered the solution, let the Atma change accordingly, the size also. And one answer was given in the previous sutra and another answer is given here. First they said, let us accept the solution offered by the Jaina Matam. Okay. Yes, I said it will solve the problem. Okay. But it will lead to another problem. That is, in expanding and contracting, Atma will be as much mortal as the body. The solution that Atma expands and contracts in every Janma is not acceptable to us because of this reason. In fact, it's not acceptable to Jainamatam also. On gaining moksha, there will be no more Sharira Grahanam. Then we ask the question, if the Atma does not get another body in moksha, and what will be the size of the Atma in moksha is the question posed by us. What will be the size of the Atma in moksha? Since no further body is taken, Atma size cannot be taken. And whatever is the final size of the Atma at the time of liberation, that size will eternally continue. They accept that size at the time of liberation, whatever is the size. So if you say that particular size is permanent, it should be permanent, and the same eternity in future and in the past also, it should be eternally permanent. If you accept one form in moksha, you should accept the same size before moksha also. If Atma is of uniform size at the end, Atma should have uniform size in the present and in the past also. Then alone, the size can be the same in future also. So you cannot say this permanent size begins from tomorrow. If it begins from tomorrow, it cannot be permanent. Since it is uniform, now also it should be uniform. And therefore, the expansion and contraction solution cannot be accepted. So if the size is uniform, the problem mentioned in the 34th sutra that we read, that will come. If size is uniform, Atma cannot fit into different types of body, in different janmas. That's what we said in 34th sutra. And in this 36th sutra, the solution given by you in 34th sutra is not acceptable because of the size situation. Now let us look at the word meanings. Atyantavastitehe, because of the permanence of the size of the Atma during the final stage of liberation. Ubhaya nityatvat, it should be changeless. It refers to the size actually. Ubhaya nityatvat should be changeless. Nityatvat refers to the size actually. It should be changeless during the beginning and middle. That's why it says ubhaya, both. Both during the beginning and middle state also. And avisheshaha, it should be uniform. The size should be uniform. If it is uniform in moksha kala, it should be uniform now also. In that case, the unfitness of size will continue. Now let us look at the significance of the words. So, antyavastitehe means a compound word consisting of antya and avastitehi. So antya means antya avastha, antyasti parimanaha, size at the time of liberation. Antya avastha. Antya means moksha avastha. And parimanaha means size. So the size during the final state of liberation, avastitihi means endurance or permanence. So ubhaya nityatvam means ubhaya means ubhaya avastha. That is Adi Avastha, the earlier Avastha, and Madhya Avastha, middle Avastha. Antya Avastha has been already said just now. So in the beginning and in the middle also should be same. So Adi and Madhya should be the same, as is found in the Antya Avastha, after liberation. So it must be enduring, should be permanent. And Cha is conjunction. Conjunction means here also. And Nityatvat, Nityatvat means because of the uniformity in the end. It should be there in the beginning and in the middle also. And avisheshaha. Avisheshaha means the size will be ever the same. So Jainamatam says that size is the same during liberation only. And Vyasacharya says it should be ever the same size. So from this we have to derive a corollary also. Sangharacharya brings it out. If the size is uniform, in samsara also the size of the Atma will be the same and will affect the content of the 34th sutra. Therefore, Jaina Matam is not acceptable. Both Jiva and Ajiva are not acceptable. And Shankaracharya says, while talking about creation, Jaina accepts creation as a product of Paramanu atoms. And the definition of creation cannot be given by them. So this anirvachaniya creation, the inexplicable creation, cannot be explained, and this is not acceptable to us because we can explain. Paramanuvada is also not acceptable to us. And why Vyasacharya did not say that thing here? Because it has been refuted in the previous adhikaranam, the adhikaranam third, in third adhikaranam, the 12th sutra, while discussing Vaisheshika philosophy, when we talked about Paramanus and all. So Paramanuvada is accepted by Vaisheshikas, Jainas and Bauddhas. Therefore, Vyasacharya does not want to deal with them again because he has already negated it. With this, the Jaina Matha discussion is also over. So what is left out is the Charvaka Darshanam, the materialistic system of philosophy, which Vyasacharya does not consider fit to discuss in Brahma Sutras. And all the 11 other 11 darshanas have been covered. Now we will go to the నెక్స్ట్ అధికరణం ఇన్ ది నెక్స్ట్ క్లాస్. యో వేదాదౌ స్వర ప్రోక్తో వేదాంతే చ ప్రతిష్ఠిత తస్య ప్రకృతిలీనస్య పరస్స మహేశ్వర. పూర్ణమద పూర్ణమిదం పూర్ణాత్ పూర్ణముదశ్యతే పూర్ణస్య పూర్ణమాదాయ పూర్ణమేవావశిష్యతే. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతి.